welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio. And as I mentioned before, it's a really good idea if you've got iTunes or Winamp or something of that nature to go to the AmericanFreedomRadio.com's Listen Live page and download the audio streams there, because you can just plug them into that little whatever MP3 playing program you got, and it'll play the stream. You don't even have to go to the website. So even if the website's down, you can still listen to the show live. How about them apples? And also, there are commercial-free archives available at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. You can try them for free, and if you like them, then please, you know, start a regular donation of around about $5 a month. Some people donate $100, some people donate $50, some donate $1 a month. You know, whatever you can contribute. Do not donate if you haven't already paid for your rent and food and shelter, clothing and electricity bills and all of that kind of stuff for you and your family. Take care of your family first. Well, rather take care of yourself first, because you can't take care of yourself. How are you going to take care of your family? And then take care of your family, because if you don't have your whole house in order, how are you going to take care of anybody else? And then start thinking about other people, you know. Maybe the people in your neighborhood deserve your help and time and attention more than I do, okay? Really think about it. But if you do like this show, if you do like the extraordinarily wide range of guests that we have, if you do like having fun amidst all of this madness, then please, by all means, donate, and do so regularly, because that pays all the bills, keeps us chugging, and also gives us the ability to buy new fancy equipment so that we look uber professional, so that when we walk up to, I don't know, the Prime Sinister, wearing a very nice suit and tie with a professional-looking microphone and a giant camera or something like that, he doesn't automatically shoo you away as somebody who's going to expose the scumbaggery, which will then allow you to expose the scumbaggery. See, I call suits urban camouflage. And that's what I do when you go out to a protest or you go out to a public meeting. Dress up, mate. You know, what have you got to lose? People always go, wow, you look really dapper and so on and so forth. And when you speak, they listen to you as though you've got some kind of authority. So they've been mind controlled by the by this fake suit and tie and what have you, in order to think that you know what you're talking about. It's just incidentally I do, but, you know, it's the problem, isn't it? How do you be honest to people and not tell them lies whatsoever in order to get what you want? And the answer is persuasion. Free will. You don't have to lie. You don't have to deceive. You don't have to make things up at all. Just be true to yourself and don't let anything at all that isn't genuine come out of your mouth. Have a bit of humility. Admit when you're wrong. You'd be surprised how little you stress about what it is you say and do if you don't care whether or not you're wrong. If somebody comes up to you and tells you that you're wrong, you're actually like, oh, really? Excellent. Thank you for telling me. Now I have the correct information. And I'm going to go on and continue. You know what I'm saying? Everybody is really afraid to be proven wrong. And that's why I think a lot of people wind up trusting their radio show hosts and YouTubers and what have you just way too much, okay? Look, ordinary people got flaws, you know, social habits. You ever moved in with somebody who you don't know very well and you find out that they got all these really, really bad habits that just drive you absolutely crazy? It's like that. Guarantee it. Each and every one of us people on the radio would drive you nuts if you were living with us. This is incidentally when me and my missus figured out a long time ago that we don't want to live with nobody else. Right? Because you can't really trust people implicitly unless they've got a long track record and you're actually willing to look through that track record. I've got a track record. It's called a YouTube channel. You go back and you start watching all my videos from years and years ago, exposing scumbaggery, and all the stuff that I'm doing now, still exposing scumbaggery, and you'll notice a lot of changes in me, but my tune doesn't change. The message doesn't change. The quality changes. It gets better, more refined over time. And this is why I encourage people, go out and do yourself a challenge. Your very first ambush. You got a smartphone or a little handy cam there? I'll tell you what. You go up to any random authority figure. Hey, some of you could be doing this right now, listening to the iPhone or Android app that you can download at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Somebody could be, at the very moment, walking past you with a parking, giving somebody a parking ticket, or stopping somebody in the street with an unlawful search and seizure or something of that nature. And you're there with a camera and the knowledge, and you can ask questions. Go up to them, you know. Get in their business. Ask them, are you okay? What's going on here? They tell you to go away. You ask, why? Why do I have to go away? And because I said so. And I say, well, what gives you the authority? I'm not trying to interfere or do anything damaging here. I'm just documenting this so that people will know what goes on if there's any dispute later on. Just be polite. You don't need to convince anybody of anything. All you can do is just sit there knowing the truth and have a conversation with somebody. All right? That's it. Have a conversation on camera. Go out and do it. Send me the video link. Or anything. I'll upload it to the channel for you. You do your first ambush. And after you do your first one, then you think to yourself, I'm going to do another one. And then another, and another, and then it's got you. It's a rush, man. It's actually a lot of fun going out, exposing scumbaggery, hanging out with other people that also like to expose scumbaggery. It's a very zen feeling, particularly when you know that you've got a camera in the face of a real psychopath. Somebody wouldn't think twice about selling out the country. And you're doing something which the mainstream media will never do. Ask them real questions and hold them to account. I think this is our job now. A lot of us might not be credible journalists or anything like that, but you name me one mainstream media allegedly credible journalist who's actually credible, right? Considering all of these newscasters literally have to sit there and either water down what they're reporting you, if they're going to tell the truth, or just report lies that the government says and tells them to write. Okay? They're just a propaganda arm. That's it. And that's all that we are as well at the end of the day. But propaganda is like an inanimate object. You know, it doesn't have necessarily a connotation, neither does manipulation. I could manipulate a pen to write a film script or a song, right? Or I can manipulate somebody into thinking that their father's a pedophile and call the cops on him so that he gets arrested and thrown in jail for absolutely no reason and has his entire life destroyed because I don't like that guy and I wanted to steal his company off him. You know? There's two different types of things right there. Just like propaganda. There's what they call black propaganda, which is where you use lies to convince people to achieve a particular idea. And white propaganda, whereas you use truth for the same ends. Imagine that. Imagine that the greater truth movement is about not watering down the truth. It isn't about framing the debate. It's about giving people time to think. Useful information, coping mechanisms. How to take care of your own health and your diet, so on and so forth. If we can, and indeed we are starting, to broaden this gap between what the truth really is and what's being reported, right? I think we really need to close that up. if you have any idea how bad things really are. It's intensely depressing. That's the problem with accurate reporting, is it depresses the living frack out of you. Oh, this guy's accurate and he's credible. Oh, mate, I don't want to listen to that. It sounds scary. Dang right. Truth is scary, mate. You know? Scarier than any artificially made horror movie, that's for dang sure. You wouldn't believe the kind of human abuse and sacrifice and what have you that goes on behind the scenes, man. It's unbelievable. That's why you wouldn't believe it. Even if it was shown to you in a movie, you still wouldn't believe it, that it really goes on. Allegedly, that's why they killed Stanley Kubrick after making Eyes Wide Shut, which incidentally was had a big sex party in a mansion, which was incidentally a Rothschild-owned mansion at the time. And it shows you just kind of what lengths of depravity can actually happen if you have enough money and power to conceal your scumbaggery. But you know what? That only works if people are actually giving in to the intimidation. If they say to you, shut up or we're going to kill you, and instead of shutting up, you start up a giant website and a whole bunch of other stuff to wind up taking these scumbags into your, I don't know, fold or whatever. Hey, you can run up to them with a camera and start asking them a question. Luke Rakowski did it. He ambushed some kind of Rothschild on the side of the street. Vicente Fox, the former drug money laundering, probably a current drug money laundering, allegedly, president of Mexico and what have you. These people are right out in the open because they think nobody knows. They also think that nobody cares enough to get off their ass and actually come and ambush them. And they're very, very surprised when they do. They don't know how to react. You know? You must say these silver spoon in hand kids who never had to really do anything for themselves in their life. Their first car is a limousine. They can't take care of themselves at all. They barely tie their own shoes. They can't even make toast. That's what the elite are like now. They've been pampered, prospered, had all these frickin' cronies and everything their entire life, taking care of everything for. Never been challenged once. And now, here we have, ladies and gentlemen, the opportunity of a lifetime to expose this scumbaggery in a very, very, very public manner. So that if any repercussions happen to any of us, it would have to be like a willing sacrifice, of course. You know, you can't tell people, go off and do this or whatever, knowing that there could be dangerous consequences that you're not prepared to put up with yourself. It's like a bad leader, you know? Bad leader who orders people to do things that he wouldn't want to do himself. That's BS, man. You got to be in there. You got to be in the thick of it. You got to be in the front. And you got to watch out for each other, you know? Why in the frack are people infighting? All right, there's actually real agents in the truth movement, man. If you've got differences of opinion and stuff like that with each other, fine. But if somebody's actually telling lies and subverting and doing all provocatoring and what have you, it's your duty as a member of the movement to protect other people from said scumbag and expose them. All right, it's the reason why you'd go up with a camera to a David Rockefeller or a Amschel Rothschild. It's the reason why you'd ambush Henry Kissinger or a John Key, all right? If you hold these people to account, you can actually make a real difference instantly, okay?
Well, what difference do you make instantly? They still care about being scumbags?
Yeah. But before, there wasn't a video on YouTube of you exposing them as a scumbag and actually getting in there to ask a real question, showing that you, just an ordinary person with nothing else really to your credit, can still go and do it successfully. You get it? That's how powerful you are. The elite don't want you to know that. If you figure out how powerful you are and you start exercising your responsibility to expose scumbaggering, then the whole system falls apart. It's predicated on you doing nothing. Therefore, just do the direct opposite, which is something, anything. Just don't do nothing. We'll be right back.
To fly to New Zealand by plane from New York City, it takes 22 hours. So from the Twin Cities, 19. I mean, I fly all the time, and 6 hours on a plane is like a lot, and 19 is wrong. And they distract you. They feed you, and then they feed you some more, and then they feed you, give me a dessert, give me a dessert, give me a dessert. I'll do a dessert, you prick, give me that dessert. I'll have a Bloody Mary, yeah, give me a whiskey sour, yeah, give me whatever you got. Just more liquor, more liquor, more liquor. And then when you're done, there's still 16 hours to go. Welcome you want back. To know what it's like, you can experience going to New Zealand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. Also on Rush FM, which is in Hamilton, Raglan, Tauranga, Auckland, soon to be hopefully Taupo. And Affinity FM as well for various locations around the South Island, including Invercargill, Queenstown, and I think Dunedin and Christchurch. You'll have to be correct me on that one. But yeah, very good, brave radio networks in New Zealand. The first, in fact, and I couldn't forget Dagsy FM up in Whanganui there as well. Brave radio station owners and runners who have the guts and the gusto to broadcast this particular show. Bray, let's think about traces, all right? We've all seen movies and seen references and heard of things about traitors. They got to destroy a country from within. Almost every movie has a traitor in it somewhere, especially monster movies, because you can't have a monster just being the only threat. There also has to be somebody on your team who's betraying you. The traitor appears not a traitor. He speaks in accents familiar to his victims, and he wears their face in their arguments. He appeals to the baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of the city. He infects the body politic so that it can no longer resist. The traitor is the plague. That was written by Marcus Tullius Caicero, 106 to 43 BC. Let's think about being aware of the traitors among us and be vigilant, but also remember, and this is the real hard part about when people do infighting as well, is you don't know which side to trust. And that's usually because it's so ugly that you don't actually want to look at the evidence for fear of what you might find. And that's what I find really disheartening, is when people are infighting and they're actually, if you look into both sides, you find out that they're infighting for absolutely no reason. And that you could just say to them, look, bro, you're infighting for absolutely no reason, you know, chill out, what's going on here, you know, you used to be good friends and stuff, and it's just a misunderstanding. And you know, who knows, people might kiss and make up and just go, oh, well, you know, sorry, bro, I'm sorry, I got it wrong. But there's some people who actually, and this doesn't qualify as infighting, that are actually criminals, you know, like bad people who are so evil, such as the size and scope of their scumbaggery, that to expose them is basically a public service. Because there's so many dangerous people that, if given the reins of power, if given the authority to speak to millions whilst being in the employ of some form of agency and some form of concocted scumbaggery, To expose them is technically not infighting, is it? No, it's not. There's a very big difference, and people better be wise to remember the difference. The thing is, you just need to look into the evidence. Really, really, unfortunately, it's sometimes very time-consuming, but if you really want to know the truth, like if it actually means that much to you, often the evidence will be there, and you'll be able to look for it, listen to it, watch it, and make up your own mind. Don't dismiss things offhand before looking at the evidence. Just say, and this is a perfectly reasonable, justifiable excuse in my opinion, I don't want to get involved. All right? It's like, it's more trouble than it's worth, and it's not my fight kind of thing. You know? That's fine. I can vibe with that. It's like if you've either got to pick a side or decide that you don't want to be a part of it at all. All right? That's all you've got to do. And if you're going to pick a side, you better damn well be sure that you're looking at all the evidence from both sides before you pick which side you're on. A little bit of discernment goes a long way, because imagine if you were attacking somebody for years and years and years, and then it turned out everything that you were attacking them for was just a lie somebody said to you that you believed and never checked up. And as a result of these lies that you've been perpetuating, somebody's entire career or life has been destroyed. Their children may have been taken from them by CPS on a false allegation or something of this nature. You know, don't make accusations willy-nilly. You can destroy people's frickin' lives. Imagine if somebody was about to destroy your life with a vicious lie or attack. How would you feel? You wouldn't feel very good about it, would you? All right? Which is why the people who go out and actually do this, I would say, I guess the word is professionally, who are professional liars, you know, like politicians, heads of industry, CEOs, that kind of thing. These type of sociopathic, incredibly powerful scum who are so dangerous. Mostly because they've got an inordinate amount of influence, but also at the same time as having that influence, they've got influence over the very mechanisms of enforcement that would punish them for having said influence, such as their strength, such as the difficulty in bringing them down. You can expose somebody, sure, but just exposing them is not enough. Often there needs to be campaigns of such a nature that will indeed allow people to get access to all of the information that would convince them of the eventual obvious truth that this particular scumbag is in fact a scumbag, and it wasn't just some baseless allegation, it was actually based upon evidence. And we need to deport or jail or oust or impeach said scumbag from whatever position they currently occupy. This is why I think infighting is often a waste of time, because all you need do is produce the evidence and the infighting stops. Because if somebody's actually got evidence, there's no arguments, is there? There's only fallacious spin doctoring that they can use to defend themselves. And if your evidence is good enough, stark enough, and spread fast and wide enough, it doesn't matter what kind of spin doctoring they do, doesn't it? They're fracked, and they know that they are. And that's when it becomes really, really dangerous. Imagine a president with literally access to the red button that could destroy the whole frickin' world, backed into a corner, scared out of his mind, and just looking for a way out, with no conscience. You know, imagine the horrors that can be unleashed with this kind of scumbag around. It's extraordinary how some people refuse to look into the darkness. and call themselves light workers. I'll tell you what. Your light shines the brightest and is the most visible amidst the darkness. And I've chosen to bathe in that darkness every day when we talk about scumbaggery. Scumbaggery is very dark indeed. And nobody should underestimate the power of scumbaggery. It's very dangerous. It deceives. It steals. It kills. It rapes. It provides pretexts. It assassinates. It poisons. It contaminates. It destroys everything it touches. This is why my fight is not with you, the listener. My fight is not necessarily with every politician or every company. My fight is against the symptom of scumbaggery. If we do not expose it, then it simply grows in power and scope. Always does. Always has. That is why it is so dangerous. That is why the world needs all of us now. Imagine, just for a moment, if you will, one day, many years from now, scumbaggery has become outlawed. People don't get robbed. People don't get murdered. People don't get invaded. And people don't get into debt. Not anywhere near as much as they did. And even if something was unfortunate enough to happen, you can be assured that it's somebody who would actually feel guilt for what they've done. And you can be assured that they would be punished by somebody who takes the oath seriously. That's the kind of world that I want. A world where scumbaggery cannot take root again. But it requires vigilance. A lot of it. Every single day. See all these false flag terror attacks. All these purposeful contaminations. And you just realize that the water's heating up. We're not sitting in a nice cool pond pattering away the day anymore, are we? We're sitting on a pot on a stove that has turned up very, very gradually, and only just now is starting to burn our flesh with the pain and suffering and anguish and scumbaggery. What is the motivation behind people who wish to perpetuate that system? They've given up. They've given up on humanity. They've given up on the goodness of the mankind spirit, our eternal souls, and turn their back on it. These are not the kind of people you want ruling your future. These are not the kind of people you would even give your dog to look after. These are the kind of people that should be, as Churchill said, thrown onto the trash pile of history, but always be remembered for who they really are and what they really did, so that that kind of BS doesn't happen again. For fighting it, even as we're doing it now, is this very, very terrible battle that leaves deep scars throughout all of our minds and our hearts and our nations. Cast off the scumbaggery. Cast it off now. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio. And we'll be right back after the break. show broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio. And next hour we will be having a very special guest drop in from the Rents Radio Network, a wonderful show host that they have called Charlie McGrath, who's a long-time friend of the show and has helped out with the United We Strike broadcast and Karen Quinn Tostado for a number of years. A good man. We're talking about some, I don't know what he's going to be talking about. It's always good with Charlie, generally. In the meantime, I posted a Facebook status the other night, and I thought, speaking of scumbag rain, this is a test to see how many scumbags we all know. Please leave a comment with the name of one scumbag who is engaged in scumbaggery that you've heard of. And it's interesting to just see how many responses there are, and including, you know, members of the truth movement mentioned here, and all of this sort of thing. It's quite dire that if you put up a post talking about, I don't know, name one thing that you love about the world or whatever, you know, you get like about 3 replies. But if you say name a scumbag, get about 67 replies. It just, maybe that's because scumbags was a really weird pronunciation. Get you so riled up and so upset. And it's almost like they throw your fight or flight mechanism into overdrive, sort of thing. You know, you get incredibly angry. It's like your mind and your body become one with the rage when it comes to scumbags. You know? Somebody who's a real bad person just shafts you real nastily and then lies about it blatantly. That kind of scumbag. It really Fs you off, doesn't it? It makes you swear. It makes you get like so enraged that, oh, I don't know, you have these violent outbursts. You get really defensive. You get overly paranoid. I mean, it's almost like they're infecting you with their scumbaggery. And apparently that's actually true. Did you know that psychopathy is infectious? You know that? That's a pretty freaky discovery, don't you think? Yeah, if you are having contact, like physical contact with the psychopath on a regular basis, they can actually turn you into one of them. They can take away all your empathy. They can implant a seed in your mind of pure scumbaggery, of darkness, of callous nature, lack of empathy. Whew! That scares the heck out of me. Didn't it scare you? See, this reality is pretty frightening, isn't it? Especially when you're talking about reality. A lot of people don't want to talk about reality. They want to talk about ethereal topics of no relevance. And I'm also getting concerned that many of us have not learned the very simple lesson where if somebody's saying it's the end of the world, they're probably full of BS, you know? I mean, statistically speaking, how many times have people predicted... See, here we go. Here's how I prove my point. How many times has somebody predicted the world would end and it actually ended? I rest my freaking case. You know, a lot of people freaking out about Comet Eisen at the moment. I saw it on NASA. It's like, it's not really going to come anywhere near Earth. I mean, you'll be able to see it in the night sky. It happens from time to time when we have comets coming into the solar system. What's the, you know? It's almost like every single celestial event, like way back in the day, you know, like Aztec calendar or something like that. They knew that there was an eclipse coming. So they said to everybody, oh, it's going to be the death knell of everything unless you allow me to sacrifice a whole bunch of people and let the blood run in the streets. You know, I'm not saying that the people promoting Comet Eisner are promoting that kind of thing, but it's the same kind of mentality, I think. It's the end of the world, oh no. That kind of fear of the end of the world. I experienced that, I don't know, maybe a little bit when I first started finding out about, you know, what some people were saying 2012 was going to look like when that movie came out. So, oh no, that can't be good. That can't be good at all, bro. Maybe we should get together on your parents' land and build an ark. Yeah, man, it'll be awesome. We never built an ark. Couldn't be fucking bothered. And it turns out we didn't need it. Why? So we can, float around on a nuclear radiation contaminated ocean for like 400 years? Fuck that. I'd rather just die. What are you going to do? Think you're going to live forever? Sweet mother of mercy. You know, I do think that we place far too much importance on what makes us happy. I mean, that may sound like a weird statement coming from me, but really think about this. How much instant gratification do we crave? Okay? I instantly need a coffee, you know? Or at the end of the working week, I instantly need a beer. Or I instantly need that video game, or I instantly need to access that movie on YouTube or something like that. And I got to thinking about this when the power was cut out the other day. How much an over-reliance on automatic stimuli that we have. You know, back in the day, people used to play group sports and things. Nowadays, because we've got electricity, all these devices and everything everywhere, we virtually don't even talk to each other. Even when we're in each other's presence the whole freaking time. One's got headphones on, one's watching the TV, your bro's zoned out, blinded by goodness knows how many freaking bits of resolution of HD television screen that you can freaking ever desire. And before you know it, society's crumbled apart because nobody knows each other, even though you're living right in the freaking same house, let alone knowing your next door neighbour. That's what these electronic devices and entertainments and distractions that have been proliferated around society for a very long time indeed, I think are ultimately for. So that instead of entertaining ourselves by having fun with other people, we've got fun on tap so that we no longer need other people. And because we no longer need other people, we develop an ability to survive without any real human contact. You notice that? When was the last time you went into a big office building in a big city or something like that and saw people hugging in the lobby? You're like, hey, bro, how's it going? You know, doesn't happen, does it? Everyone's real professional. They keep their heads down, try to keep out of everybody else's business. Glued to their iPhone. It's messed up, bro. I don't know. Maybe I've got a unique perspective to a lot of people because I'm from New Zealand. Look, it's the same difference, all right? You go to London, you got cameras, you got motorways, you got department stores. Yeah, you got that in Auckland too. You got that in Cincinnati, Ohio, got it in LA, you got it in frickin' Germany and in Berlin. You got it in Canberra, Australia. You got it everywhere. Okay, it's one global system now. Imagine that. The globalists have, over the course of 100 years, maybe even thousands of years, some people speculate, passed down through bloodlines and such, an entire culture that extends globally where people have subtracted their human interaction for electronic entertainment. Poisonous electronic entertainment, mind you, for the EMF waves and all of that kind of stuff coming off them. That's not good for you. And on top of that, what other ways is it toxifying your mind? What kind of, I think you're going from beta waves to alpha waves or alpha waves to beta waves or something like that when you're going down the chain and you're no longer thinking. You're just in a suggestible, dreamlike state. Happens after about 30 seconds. There's a certain amount of flickers per second that the television screens were specifically designed to do, and I believe the CIA had a hand in that design function to find the exact flicker rate where the conscious mind could no longer process the images it was seeing and had to slip into semi-consciousness in order to process it. And at that point, it opens you up for subliminal messaging. Doesn't that scare the frack out of you? That they got that kind of premeditation to mind control you. And here we are, stuck into it. What does the average American watch? 6 hours, 8 hours TV a day? It's unbelievable. How many people have conversations with other people about something important for 6 or 8 hours a day? There's just no freaking way, bro.
Your weapons are
it's unbelievable.
Reach within you. And find
the yeah, sometimes it just gets all on top of you and you really can't stand it. But anyway, thankfully, there's a break. And I'm going to have a coffee or something because I'm not really feeling it. I'll be right back after the break at the Vinnie Anderson Show. .com. Don't you go anywhere, folks.
Women and children, front line, log on, tune in, stand and be counted, wounded, stationed in the belly of the vulture, watch your back, there's no civilians, women, children, front line, listen, consider this a distant, early warning, the fire's imminent, pollution, gathering dust, particles, funneling through smokestacks, airwaves, bandwidth, disinformation, too fed, check the labels, delete the virus, alert the masses.